Hey, everybody, I'm Nick Layton.
And I'm Leah Bonema.
And we're the hosts of Were You Raised by Wolves?
Each week, we try to make the world a kinder, nicer place.
Well, that's the idea, at least.
I mean, we try.
Have you ever wondered what to do if you're ghosted?
Or what to do when a friend asks you to borrow money?
Or the proper way to eat Cheetos?
You know, the big questions.
So please find Were You Raised by Wolves wherever you listen.
If you're a farmer in New York State, join the New York State Grown and Certified program to let people know your food is grown right, right here. Learn more at certified.ny.gov.
You're listening to Heritage Radio Network. We're a member-supported food radio network broadcasting over 35 weekly shows live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. Join our hosts as they lead you through the world of craft brewing, behind the scenes of the restaurant industry, inside the battle over school food, and beyond. Find us at heritageradionetwork.org.
Greetings and welcome to Animal Instinct here on Heritage Radio Network. I'm your host, Celia Kutcher. I'm also known as the Food Healer. Welcome to the show. It is a freezing cold day in Brooklyn, and before we get started, I wanted to give a little bit of a shout-out. Jen and Mika had a lovely dog named Sadie, who I'd known for a very, very long time. And Sadie had a wonderful life and a long one, and sadly, she's moved on. And she was a good friend of mine, as are her parents, so I just wanted to say a little word about her and hope that her voyage continues well and that her family is home, safe and sound, with a lot of love. So, that being said, today I am interviewing Lisa Luckenbach all about her product Wiggle Less, which is a back brace for dogs. So, Lisa, are you there?
I am.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good, thank you. Thank you for having me on your show. I really appreciate it.
Oh my God, thank you so much for contacting me. I was really excited to hear about your product. It's something that I think we've needed for a really, really long time. And so I just want to get started and ask you a whole bunch of questions. Is that okay?
Sure.
All right. So let's start off with basics. What gave you the idea for Wiggle Less?
Well, I have to say Wiggleless started with a labor of love and kind of has been an accidental business that it turned out there was a need for. And it was because of my own two dachshunds who I had at that time, Henry and June. And they were both diagnosed with something called IVDD, which is, I had no idea what that was, and I've learned a lot about it since then. It stands for intervertebral disc disease, and it turns out there's a lot of dogs that have this problem. So with my two dogs, they were 4 years apart, and they had the same father, and my youngest one, June, who was shaped like a pencil, very long and thin, she was only 2 years old when she began to have these horrendous back problems.
Oh, no.
That resulted in emergency room visits, and she needed strong medication and crate rest, and it was just horrendous. And then my other dog, Henry, whose build was a little bit different, more like a Tootsie Roll, a little bit stockier, his back problems came a little bit later with the same kind of results in terms of the emergency rooms and all that. So after many vet visits, I was shocked to learn that both of my dogs had IVDD and that their quality of life could be compromised. There's, you know, different things that you can do. Back surgery seemed very daunting to me. And I know for myself, I had back issues. They always seem to flare up at the most inopportune times.
Totally.
And so I could really relate to what Henry and June were going through when their backs went out. It's very, very painful. And the protocol for that is very strong medication and confined rest. And they're all very important and very necessary. But for me, I felt like there had to be something more that I could do because it was very painful for me to witness my dog suffering and in pain. So I know that a back brace had helped me from my local pharmacy, and I thought, well, I've got to find one for my dogs, and I searched the marketplace at that time, and I found no back brace available for dogs.
Yeah.
So I designed my own for Henry and June. I had a seamstress sew it up, and the idea for the brace was to help curtail the twisting, relieve stress, and provide comfortable, firm back support without obstructing any of their movements. So I showed it to my vet, and he was very impressed and felt that the brace could benefit many dogs with back problems. So that's kind of how the business started.
Wow. Wow. How many generations did you have to go through until, like, you really figured out what you were doing?
Well, it was just my two dachshunds. This started, their back problem started in like 2009. And
Right. Then
when my vet said, you know, boy, there's a lot of dogs that had back problems, I didn't realize it. I've grown up with dogs. I've never not had a dog. Mm-hmm. And most of the dogs that I've had have been the larger dogs, golden retrievers. So this was the first time I had smaller dogs. And
yeah.
I've come to learn that like so many dogs have back problems. And it isn't just the smaller ones. It's you know, there's about eight different breeds that are actually prone to back problems. So it was really through my experience with Henry and June that it all started, and we've been helping dogs, well, for the last, we started the business in 2011, and I sell them all over the world. It's amazing.
That's,
I just
so
had
cool.
No idea.
That's fantastic. I mean, I love this view because it's a simple solution. You know, it's usually like, with, as you know, because you've been going through this, you know, when dogs go through pain or if there's some kind of spinal issue or like any kind of like body issue, it's, you know, being like, okay, well, your dogs have back problems, so they need a lot of rest. And it's like, I mean, the only way you're going to be able to do that, especially with like dachshunds that are young, is just getting them completely wasted on painkillers so that they just don't have the strength to do it, you know? And so this, I like what you're doing because I feel like it's going to be beneficial to the animal and that it actually allows them some freedom of movement as well.
Yes, and you know, you're very right. It's very hard to keep a dog, you know, contained in a crate or in a confined area. I mean, and it's very hard to, you know, be 24/7 vigilant about your dog's movements.
Yeah.
And so the veterinary care is extremely important. And if a person suspected that their dog had a back issue, and they do give many signs,
mm-hmm.
but if they suspected that, the first thing they need to do is get them to the vet immediately, because some of these back issues, if they're not treated immediately, they can cause paralysis, and
Whoa.
You know, it can be a real nightmare.
Wow.
So I guess my point is that Wiggleus is, it's not a cure,
right.
And I say that very readily. It's not a cure. It's support that, you know, can help along with the other medications
mm-hmm.
and rest that a dog needs. And then from my own experience with Henry and June, they fully recovered after several episodes of the rest and the medication and all, but that it was like, okay, now what? Because they still had a long life ahead of them, and
yeah.
how was I going to prevent them
yeah.
from putting their backs out? A dog can have one episode of IVD in their lifetime, or they can have many, many episodes, and you never know when that's going to happen. So it became their prevention for the rest of their lives.
Nice. So I have a question for you. You had mentioned that there are eight breeds that tend to have back problems. I mean, can you list those off?
Well, it's primarily the chondrodystrophic dogs. Chondrodystrophy, I've learned a lot. I'm not a veterinarian, but I certainly have learned a lot over the years of selling Wiggleus back braces. And they're the dogs that are kind of bred with, they have like a dwarfism. You've seen like a bulldog or
mm-hmm.
dachshunds or beagles,
mm-hmm.
Corgis, poodles have this. Sometimes they don't always show it, you know, by appearance with their kind of dwarf legs, and there's a curvature in their legs.
Mm-hmm.
So what I've learned over the years is that it can be any dog now, and it isn't just these smaller dogs, but for the most part, it's dachshunds, it's corgis, it's French bulldogs,
mm-hmm.
English bulldogs, you know, and again, poodles.
Yeah. So like the long ones.
Yes, the longer ones are more prone, but then again, any breed can have them.
Is IVDD genetic?
It can be genetic. Yes, it can be genetic. It's basically what you may call it, a slip disc or ruptured or herniated or a prolapsed disc.
Mm-hmm.
It's the most common back problem in dogs. The spinal cord has 26 donut-shaped jelly masses in them between each disc, and they act as shock absorbers to protect your dog when they jump or run or move around. But you know, over time or degeneration, the material can be dislodged or it leaks, and then it brings on this sudden, intense pain,
mm-hmm.
and it can cause paralysis.
Wow. That's really, really scary.
Yes, it is.
So how does the average dog owner know if their dog is having back problems or a back issue?
Well, there are many signs that indicate they don't, you know, obviously our dogs don't speak to us in words, but they do communicate with us all the time with their body language. And so some very clear signs of back pain would include an arched back, the stomach muscles become very tight, they may be yelping and shaking and trembling. That's a real sign of pain, a reluctance to move. Their head can be, you know, looking up high, or their nose can be to the ground. So their personality can change. Yeah. They can become depressed and not interested in eating. So there's some real noticeable signs if you're dialed into your dog.
That's good, at least. And I mean, obviously, these are signs that if a dog owner, if anybody's listening and they've got a dog that ever starts doing these things, go to the vet immediately. Because,
yeah,
you know, just in case, it may, you know, it may be something, it may not. But if it is and you ignore it, it's only going to get worse.
That's right. That's right.
So what percentage do you think of dogs have back problems?
Well, I do know that 1 in 5 dachshunds is diagnosed with IBDD. And so, you know, that's just dachshunds alone. And there's not, you know, IVDD, there's degenerative disc disease, there's spinal stenosis, there are spinal tumors, there's spondylosis, there's different types of back issues. And so, you know, this back brace that I designed wasn't necessarily injury specific, but it's just like a human being that just needs some back support and stability for many different types of issues. But, you know, the percentage of dogs, like I said, 1 in 5 dachshunds, well, that's millions and millions of dachshunds.
Seriously.
You know, in the U.S. alone. And then these other breeds, basset hounds, I forgot to say basset hounds, those two.
Oh, yeah.
But, you know, there's just a tremendous amount of back problems that dogs have, just like human beings.
Wow. I mean, I had no idea that those numbers were that high. And I worked in a vet's office for a couple of years, too. And, I mean, we got lucky. There really weren't that many back injuries, all things considered. We actually dealt with a lot more dysplasia. But
The larger dogs.
Yeah,
right.
For the most part, it was larger dogs. At one point, we had a couple Frenchies that would, sadly were just like a genetic garbage can, and like between the allergies and the lung problems, they also had spinal issues, but it was basically an entire structural issue with these poor dogs. You know, it was
I feel for them. You know, even with dachshunds right now, you know, they're being anatomically, it just isn't fair for them.
Yeah.
And even like in the show dog world, which I'm not a part of, but it's my understanding that dachshunds nowadays are even being bred longer and closer to the ground, which,
said,
anatomically, that does not make for, a strong, solid back.
I'm just, like, envisioning, like, that slinky toy, you know, that's the little dachshund head and the little tiny wheels on the bottom. It's like...
That's about right.
Oh,
you're
my
right.
Lord. I mean, this is crazy.
Yes.
So, who would be the ideal client for the Wiggleless?
Well, the ideal client is, first of all, my customers are just incredible because they love their dogs very much. They get very emotional if their dog is injured in any way.
Mm-hmm.
Their dogs are their children, their best friend. If, you know, they see their dog suffer, they're going to suffer. So a customer that's going to do anything to help their dog if she discovers they're in pain or there's a problem there. So, It's caring, compassionate dog owners and veterinarians. We would love to, you know, support them in any way we can. Healthcare practitioners, canine massage therapists, laser surgery, canine acupuncture.
Smart.
All those things. These are all tools for, you know, helping with the overall health and well-being. And so those would be the customers that would seek out a Wiggleless. And my customers really do their own research. They may take their dog to a vet, and then they may come back and say, I want to do more.
Yeah.
And that's exactly what I did. So that's what I'm finding a lot of my customer base is. They do a lot of their own research.
So basically, Wiggleless is another tool to have in the toolbox.
Exactly.
Okay, so this is not some miracle solution that is going to, like, you know, you put it on and your dog is miraculously fixed, okay? So, guys, don't think that. But this is something that, honestly, in this industry, it's something that's been needed desperately, as Lisa has told us, and it's something that's really important. So, you know, if you do have a dog with a long spine and it's having some back issues, you may really want to check this out and research this. And later on in the show, I'll make sure to give you guys all the information regarding websites and all that so you can find Lisa. At this point, though, we need commercial identification. So we will be back in about a minute and a half, to continue the conversation with Lisa Luckenbach. Just stay tuned.
New York State cares about New York's farmers. That's why we've developed the New York State Grown and Certified program. It's a seal New Yorkers can look for when they're shopping for food that comes from local farms. Customers are more likely to buy food that has the New York State Grown and Certified seal because it tells them that it comes from a farm that follows environmentally responsible, farm-safe protocols. In other words, the New York State Grown and Certified seal tells them their food is grown right, right here in New York State. You're a farmer with a lot to do, but the time it takes to sign up for the program is a great investment for your business because it lets shoppers know that your food meets higher standards, has passed assessments, and is produced by environmentally friendly farming practices. To learn about participating in the program, go to certified.ny.gov.
We are back. I am talking to Lisa Luckenbach all about her product Wiggleless, which is a dog harness for dogs with back issues. So, Lisa, question for you. Actually, I want to ask you this. I know this is totally out of order and totally out of context, but this is one of those questions that everybody needs the answer to, especially if they want your product, is how does one fit their dog for a Wiggleless brace?
Well, that's it. That's really important, too, because, you know, dogs, there's so many different builds of dogs within each breed, you know, even. So we have on our site, wiggleless.com, we have a tab, how to use, and then you go down to measuring. And so it's just really important because this is not a product that you can just eyeball the pictures that we have on our website and say, oh, my dog looks like that, so I'm going to get that size.
Yeah.
So it's very, very important that you measure a dog. And so we look for two measurements with Wiggleless. We look for a girth or chest measurement. Mm-hmm. You use a soft measuring tape around the circumference, around the widest part of the dog's chest, behind the front legs. Mm-hmm. And then we do a torso measurement, and that is between the shoulder blades, at the base of the neck, between the shoulder blades, along the spine to the hip crease. And that kind of gives us the length of the brace, because we have eight sizes now. We started off with three sizes. We were primarily, looking at the dachshunds, but then over the years we realized with customers writing and calling in saying, do you have bigger ones? So we have eight sizes now, and we have three that are long sizes. We have a small long, a medium mm-hmm. long, a large long, and we also have those in the regular sizes. So the two measurements that we look for are very important, and even then sometimes as a lot, you know, a dog may be on the cusp of the size or whatever, and then that's best for the customer to call in and, you know, get some help from our customer service. And
cool.
So the measuring per our website is essential.
Perfect. And measure two or three times. Don't just measure once, because
I agree.
That's bad.
Yes, measure a couple times, because you want to get it as accurate as possible. It is primarily Wiggleless is primarily an online business, so like any product that you get online, you mm-hmm. just want to get it as close to fitting as possible based on the measurements. And then we do have, you know, there may be an exchange needed or whatever, and we're happy to accommodate all that. But the getting the measurements is very important.
And so let's say you've got someone who contacts you that just has a very unusually shaped dog. Are you guys capable of doing custom work if that's needed?
Unfortunately, no. We started with custom work, and it just became I had to hire a seamstress who was always going to be available, and then that didn't work out. And it's you also need to fit a dog, and so some of these dogs were, you know, from the East Coast, and we're in California, and in the back and forth, it became very difficult. But we spent over a year going to humane societies, inviting, you know, friends. Every dog we knew, we would try on a Wiggler. So we feel like we've reached a fairly broad number of dogs and breeds and builds that, you know, we can accommodate. And then, of course, there may be dogs that we simply can't fit very well. Our largest size is probably for maybe a 65-pound dog.
Okay.
So that would be our largest size. And right now we don't have anything larger than that.
Just out of curiosity, what's your smallest size?
The smallest size is an XX small, and those are for toy dogs primarily, maybe 5-6 pounds.
Oh, my God, that's
must
be so
7 pounds,
cute.
And then on up to, you know, 65, 70 pounds probably maximum. We do have something called an X-strip, which we have it's an additional piece that you can stick on if you find that you need some more chest room. So we do have some adjustability there.
Oh, that's really cool. That's really smart, too.
Thank you.
I love that. And so, okay, so I have it. Let's say I'm gonna have a dachshund. We'll call him Wrinkle because that was my first pet. So we have Wrinkle the dachshund, who sadly has IVDD. So I get all the measurements right. I contact you guys. I order it. It comes back to me. Let's just say it fits to, you know, make this easy. So then what is the protocol for Wrinkle wearing this vest or this harness?
Well, what we suggest introducing your dog gradually to Wiggler's, maybe up to an hour at a time. Some dogs require an adjustment period, but it doesn't take long to know whether your dog, first of all, whether the fit is right. Mm-hmm. The success of the brace is related to the fit, obviously the proper fit, and then the response of the dog. So some dogs, they've never worn a garment before, and they might find it like, what is this on me? There is boning that is stitched into the back braces, which give it that firm support and helps to curtail the twisting. So some dogs just sort of like, what is this, you know, and it just takes a little while for them to adjust to it. And there's Velcro, so there's that noise of the Velcro, and some dogs don't like that, and some dogs don't have any problem with it at all. So it's really about your dog's personality. So anyway, gradually, an hour at a time, and then, you know, another hour, and then, you know, once you see that there's no movements obstructed, your dog is comfortable in it, there's nothing that's going to, you know, go wrong here.
Yeah.
We do have customers that work all day long, and once they've determined that the fit is right and the dog responds well, then the dog wears it all day long. We do not encourage 24/7 wearing it. A dog needs a little bit of a breather, you know, anything snug, which it is snug. You want to give them a breather from it, and then they can wear it, you know, whether it's healing through surgery, whether it's prevention for future back issues. My dogs, like I said, once they healed from their back issues, they wore the brace a part of each day, the most active times during the day, when we took walks, and they did this for prevention, and they never did go to the vet again for a back problem as long as they lived. So it was a successful.
God, congratulations on that. That's amazing. I mean, that's like, I was not expecting you to say that. That's so cool. Now, I feel like, you know, every vet clinic and every animal hospital should have like a setup of your product for after injuries and after surgeries so that, you know, when the animal comes out of anesthesia and they're completely out of it, that they don't start thrashing, or, you know, which will happen on rare occasion. So I kind of feel like your product should just be everywhere. I mean,
really. I agree with you, Celia.
I mean, seriously.
I do. I mean,
genius.
I think it would be a real benefit to have vets have at least one or two sizes in their office, because they have the dog right there to fit, and so you don't have the issues of, you know, internet measuring online, but it would be right there. And we have helped dogs. We do have a few places in Thousand Oaks, California. There's a vet clinic that uses them, just like what you said, after surgery to keep them stabilized.
Nice.
We've also interestingly enough, we helped a lamb in Australia.
Yay.
And we helped a fox in Miami. So there's, you know, there's other animals that have benefited from this brace as well, which has been very interesting. But yes, I agree with you. I think that it should be in every veterinary office.
I do too, and especially because, like, if Tex had it, and you know, they could get the right measurements, and it would just be so much easier. But I mean,
yes,
this is just such—it's such a brilliant idea, and I'm—and it's the darn truth, man. This did not exist. I mean, I've been doing the trade shows for way too long, and you know, I have not seen this product. I haven't been in a couple of years, in all honesty, so that's why I haven't seen you. But you know, before that, there was nothing like this at all. And it's, you know, people would wrap their pets with ACE bandages, and it's you can't do that. That's not the
right
way to do this.
Right.
And so,
well,
this is so cool, Lisa. I'm really impressed.
Well, thank
with
you, thank you. It's very rewarding to feel like we've been helping dogs, and you know, we get wonderful, wonderful. I have over 100 testimonials on my website, and they're, you know, people writing in, they're very excited when we can help a dog. It's just very, very rewarding. Dogs, I think I was a dog once. I just feel I am a total and complete obsessed dog lover. I'm the one that, you know, will cry if an animal is hurt in a movie
I can't even.
You know,
yeah,
look at a dog before I look at the human being. I just feel a real relationship. And I have taken some animal communication workshops.
Oh, cool.
I've taken some canine massage therapy. If any dog's
nice
sitting next to me, they're going to get a full-on dog massage.
Yeah, I'm the one that goes to the party and is on my hands and knees immediately playing with the dog, ignoring all the other people in the room.
Yes, that's how I am.
I feel your pain, babe. I know exactly what it's like. But I mean, sometimes they're much better guests and much more interesting than some of the guests at some of the parties.
I agree.
So what do you think is the most challenging part of your work?
Well, I think that the most challenging part is probably keeping enough braces in stock. They're made in the Garment District of Los Angeles.
Yay.
Right on Los Angeles Street.
Yay.
And I get them made in small batches. They're they're very finely sewn by, there's two seamstresses in charge, and they're hand sewn essentially. And so I get them in smaller batches, and so just keeping them in stock. And
yeah,
and I think the most challenging part of my business is just when I can't help a dog, when it just, we've tried everything and
yeah,
we've done, you know, maybe the size didn't work or whatever, and she's just, oh, my dog just isn't taking to it, or my dog, it's not working for my dog. That that's just always, you know, disheartening for me, because even one dog that I can help, I'm ecstatic. So.
I hear ya. And, you know, there's some animals that are just, I had a Jack Russell that would rather die than have anything on him. And I was
right
working, I had a horse farm upstate, and it was freezing. I mean, it was one of the coldest winters on record, and this damn dog, I had a cute little blanket for him. Nope. Sat, screamed for 10 hours straight. I finally took it off. He ran off in the snow, rolled around. So, you know, there are some animals that are definitely, it's a challenge with clothing and things like that, you know.
Right.
A lot of bribery. You know, and if this is something, too, if you have a pet that's a little spooky or something like that, and you're interested in this product and you need it, you may want to contact one of your dog trainers in the neighborhood to help you get the animal used to this thing if there's tend to be skittish. Because the Velcro can be a real issue. You know,
right,
ones that don't care, don't care. But if you do have one, if you bring this home and you go, you know, come here, Fluffy, and Fluffy's like underneath the couch, you might want to get a little bit of help so that this becomes a positive experience, instead of like, you know, hold the dog down and strap this thing in and okay, now, you know what I mean? Like, because this is going to help them. So if you can make it a positive experience going on, it's only going to be better and better.
That's right. That's exactly what we say, too. You know, if you want to offer a little treat, make it just a happy, excited, joyous thing when it's fitted on your dog, like, oh, how beautiful, how handsome. And some dogs, you know, are just, I've had customers say to me, you know, my dog can't wait for his wiggles to be put on, you know.
So,
we want to make it a positive association, and you're absolutely right.
And so what are they made out of?
They're made out of a double layer polyester mesh.
Wow.
So there's whole air holes in them, and then Velcro, and 1/2 inch steel boning, and a Cordura that is, the boning is encased with the Cordura. So they're very high quality fabrics. Again, I get the fabrics in Los Angeles.
Nice.
And the longevity of the braces, you know, it really is related to the care and cleaning that you give it. We do not recommend that you machine wash it, but they're easy to keep clean just with some tweezers and, you know, a vacuum wand to vacuum up any loose hairs and all. So, and a clean damp sponge if anything gets dirty on the outside of it. But these can last a dog a lifetime.
God, this is so cool. You've really done your homework, man. You have really worked hard on this. And I love that all the fruits of your labor are coming to fruition because, this, like I said, this is something that we need. And this is something that's really important. You know, the animal industry, for people that don't know, like the pet industry, the majority of the things that come into the pet industry tend to be things like really cool toys or ridiculous treats or, you know, something like this. It's usually not something that is therapeutic for the average layperson. Most of the time, if it is anything therapeutic, it's usually for veterinary work. And so I think that you're crossing, like you've created this bridge that really was a huge void before. And I'm thrilled. I'm so grateful to be talking to you and sharing this information with my listeners because this is something that really, I mean, you know, if you've ever had a back problem and you know how excruciating that is, it's, you know, you'll have empathy for the pets immediately just because of that.
That's right. That's right. And I do have, you know, and that has been my mission is to any products that I have. I do have some other products on my website that are, it's all about the health and well-being of a dog.
So,
a snuggle puppy, which is for separation anxiety and healing and recovery. It has a real feel heartbeat, a real feel beating heart. So if your dog is injured and needs to be in a confined area or a crate, then you put the snuggle puppy in and the beating heart. And there's pack animals, you know, really respond to the beat of a heart.
Cool.
And so that's been a really useful tool as well to put in the tool bag. And then I have some holistic herbal supplements for inflammation and cellular repair and pain management and joint health. And I have a non-pull harness for moderate, gentle walks so that you don't strain a dog's back or neck. And then I have the ginger lead support and rehabilitation harness for dogs needing assistance with balance or mobility.
Nice.
So all of the products that I have, whether they're mine or another brand, it's all to complement the overall health and well-being of a dog.
So can I ask you, what were you doing before this, or have you always been in the animal industry?
No, I've done many different things. I went through breast cancer, and I that was back in 2001, and I was an ordained minister, so I did a lot of public speaking and pulpit speaking for just positive, inspirational messages. And I also have a I'm a licensed massage therapist. I am a registered yoga instructor. So all these things that I've done, all these different chapters in my life have really been a huge part of, I think, the success of Wiggleus as well, because of just the compassion I have, the overall health care and well-being of whether it's a human being or an animal. They've all played a part in Wiggleus.
That's so cool. This is just such a great story, and it's so funny too, because so many things in this industry have started or happened because of someone who just couldn't find the solution out there and was like, forget it, I'm going to do this. And it's like, I find that pet owners tend to be quite motivated when it's their own pet involved, and I love that you've created this and you're able to share this with other people that need it.
Well, thank you. Yes, it really has been very, very rewarding, and I feel like, you know, it's this is not about me. It's about animals. It's about dogs. It's about helping dogs help their dogs, and I just know how much our pets mean to us. Our dogs mean to us. I just know how much they mean to us, and I have a tremendous amount of love and respect for the animal kingdom in general, all across our planet. I just can't imagine a world without animals. So I'm very gratified with this.
And and what's so cool about it is that you are making a huge contribution to this. I mean, it's, you know, it's a back brace, but at the end of the day, like you said, there's other animals that are using it. You know, all the animals that you've sold to that are using this. I mean, this is big. It's, you know, I don't remember all the other animals, okay? But until, I think it was the mid-70s, it may have been 1974, it may have been 1978. Please don't Google this because I don't know. But I know it was in the 70s that it took until the 70s for doctors and physicists and veterinarians to even understand the fact that fish felt pain. And so this is where we're coming from, you know, and that really wasn't that long ago. And so, like, where we've gone from that point is really leaps and bounds. But like we've been saying, this didn't exist, you know, in like the new millennium when we hit 2000, this wasn't around yet. And so it's an enormous step. It seems like it may be a baby step to people that don't know, but this is a huge contribution to animal wellness. And I just want to say thank you so much for sticking with it and, like, you know, the 800,000 prototypes and all, like, right, those fun right. things, you know.
Well, thank you. Thank you so much. I really, really appreciate what you're saying, because there's been times, you know, I was not a business person at all. It was just this labor of love for my dog. So the whole business aspect of it has been, I've been bushwhacking my way one step at a time and, you know, learning obviously a tremendous amount along the way. But it has been just a total labor of love. And like I said, sometimes, you know, it's like, oh my God, why am I doing this?
Totally.
All that goes into a business. I had no idea, but like you said, at the end of the day, when I get testimonials, or when I get a customer write in or call or send a picture of their dog that's been helped or prevented surgery or helped after surgery or whatever it may be, it's very rewarding.
That's enormous too. That's so nice. Oh my God, I've really enjoyed talking to you, Lisa. This was a lot of fun.
Well, thank you. I enjoyed talking to you too, Celia. Thank you so much for having me.
Oh my God. Well, give us all, where are you? Tell us everywhere you are, because my listeners like to, like, spook you wherever you, like, if you can tell us Twitter,
well,
Facebook.
Well, we're an online business, and it's Wiggless, WIGGLELESS.com. That's our website, where we have just a ton of information there. And we have a Twitter, Wiggless, and the Facebook, Wiggless, and Instagram, Wiggless Dog Back Brace. So we're on all the social platforms, and that's really how the word has spread about Wiggless. It's been social media, and I'm very grateful because without social media, I don't know, you know, not so many people would know about it. But more and more are learning about Wiggless. Like I said, I've sent braces to Russia. I've sent them to Africa. Just all over the world, and I'm just gratified by the wonderful customers that are just so caring and compassionate and loving with their animals.
Oh my God, this is such a, you have just made my day. I am, like, all, like, happy and fuzzy over here now.
Well, you've made my day, believe me.
Yay.
You really have. I really appreciate what you say.
And yeah,
so thank you
as well. And we sadly are out of time. I could definitely talk to Lisa a lot longer than we can, but I would love to get in touch with you in the future for other shows to find out about your other products too, because they sound really amazing. And I would love to share them with our listeners. So if that's okay with you, I'm going to bug you in a couple weeks.
Absolutely. I'd love it.
Yay. That's awesome.
Okay.
So, Lisa, thank you so much. Wiggless, thank you. Roberta's, thank you so much for having the station in here. It's tough watching everyone eat amazing pizza while I'm doing my show, but it's always nice to know that I can get one when I leave. So next week we will have a brand new show. Up until then, you can follow me on Instagram at Animal Instinct Radio. You can find me on Facebook for the Animal Instinct page. You can go to iTunes and Stitcher, and you can download shows and do me a favor and subscribe, because that's always, like, super cool. And then you get karma points, so that's a good thing. Anyway, thank you guys for listening. I hope you have a great week, and take care.
Thanks for listening to Heritage Radio Network, food radio supported by you. For our freshest content and to hear about exclusive events, subscribe to our newsletter. Enter your email at the bottom of our website, heritageradionetwork.org. Connect with us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at @heritage_radio. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization driving conversations to make the world a better, fairer, more delicious place. And we couldn't do it without support from listeners like you. Want to be a part of the food world's most innovative community? Rate the shows you like, tell your friends, and please join our community by becoming a member. Just click on the beating heart at the top right of our homepage. Thanks for listening.
Hey, it's Francis Lamb, host of The Splendid Table. Every week on our show, we talk about food and cooking and the meanings of food and cooking. We talk with the most interesting people in food about their techniques, their culture, and everything in between. Whether it's about how fried chicken took over the world or how Instagram changes the way people are actually eating. It's a food show where everyone is welcome. Come join us. You can listen to The Splendid Table wherever you get your podcasts.